Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And tonight we have a great, wonderful guest. Her name is Phyllis Carratt. She's a spiritual trailblazer and priestess, an attorney, and best-selling author whose groundbreaking books have made Wicca accessible to the world and awaken an entire generation to the goddess. She is program chair of the historic 2021 Parliament of the World Religions and founder of the Temple of Ara. And I am thrilled, you have to pinch me every time. She's also my friend.
Yeah. Of course I am. How can I not be?
I'm so happy to have you here, Phyllis, on Lunatic Mondays. Once again, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And man, it's been a ride this couple of years. We're kind of not going to want to talk about it, but we kind of want to talk about it because historic Parliament of the World Religions. But before we get into it, how are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, aging is tough, and when I've entered the Crohn's stage of life, and when that estrogen switch gets turned off, everything starts breaking because Mother Nature is recycling you. And I'm like, cool your jets, But the other side of that is that you get real clear about how precious life is, how fast it goes, how important it is to pay attention to the things that really matter. And with my lens cleared, despite the fact that there's an organic drop in energy, right? Like I can't, work all day, stay up all night, get 2 hours. I can't do that, right? And it's harder for me to travel. I just went to Italy in the fall and it was more difficult to go sleepless and plunge immediately on arriving into doing initiations. I could feel it physically. It's like, okay, that's what it is. We adjust, adjust the dials. But the gift of wisdom and the motivation that comes with it to use the time well and accomplish the things that are really important is terrific. That thing about the Red Hat Society, right? That you just don't care about other people's opinions. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter. You are at home finally in yourself and fully present with yourself. And so you're able to be fully present with the world. So I'm good. I mean, I got my shots. I got my booster. We were lucky we had Moderna, which seems a little easier on the system. And I expected to be flat on my back because we also did the flu booster, but I'm okay and super, super grateful that we have it. And I am mystified by people who don't take it and just yell and scream about their freedom with a complete failure to understand that with freedom comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That we are a nation that places a priority on freedom, but we're a society. So we have a social contract. We have agreements. You can own a gun, but you can't shoot me. You can drive your car, but you have to have a license and you can't drive 150 through the school zone, which is 15 miles an hour. You have freedom and you have to handle it responsibly. And if you get sick and your breath from a few feet away could kill someone else, you must wear a mask. And you really should have the good common sense to get a vaccine. This defiance of science is beyond me. Yeah. It's just disinformation and the politicization is a tragedy.
It is indeed.
So that's right. I'm good though. We're working hard. These last couple of years were traumatic and very difficult, but I tend towards, you know, the extremes of activism and mysticism, and the positive, the silver lining in the cloud of isolation for me, aside from cultivating my relationship with Mother Earth, because that's where we could all go safely, and being incredibly happy to see her recover because we had shut down a little bit, was I learned how to do this. I learned how to use this medium. I'm casting, I have an international online circle now that would be impossible without this magic. So I've really used the time well to come into the, you know, what's natural to people who are half my age, but was totally unnatural to me.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm scared to death about fascism in this country. I'm scared to death about the loss of our right to vote and have it counted and have it count. I'm scared about that. And I've been saying for 20 odd years that this was coming, and now here it is. And I'm afraid that people are asleep, that the Democratic Party is asleep, most of it, that people don't see what's happening right in front of them, and that by the time they wake up, it could be too late. That worries me.
It really worries me a lot how the folks in the United States choose not to acknowledge that there is a whole world around, and that where we are turning our noses up to a vaccine, the rest of the world is quite literally dying to have one. And, you know, we just care only about United States, only about our benefit. And like you said, with great freedom come great responsibility. And that is why this media, like you say, you know, this magic of connection, and it has its you know, problems with the globalizing of the planet and this and that. But I love technology, and I love that we are able to do this.
Yeah.
And in this case, you and I are in the same country, but are in two different ends of the continent. But when we have done events such as Parliament,
Yeah.
Oh my God, where you have people, where you get the opportunity to see rituals in Thailand, or how people pray in Iran, or how somebody will dance and praise the goddess on the other end of the world. We would have never been able to do this if not for this historic circumstances.
Yes, that's right. And it was amazing. They asked me to serve as program chair. I had been off the board for 6 years, and I was on back on for 5 minutes, and they said, "We should be program chair." I was like, okay. So I said yes. And we didn't know whether or not it would work, right? Whether the platform would withstand the use, whether people would be able to manage it, whether we would have the same kind of attendance. We had over 4,000 people. And then after the Parliament, because it was recorded, probably another 1,000 views, so about 5,000 people, which is terrific. And we had, like you said, we had people. I mean, I love the technical side of how we did it, right? With the zooming in, especially during the plenaries, which is where I really focused a lot of my energy and time. And they were, to craft them, to create an energy and a flow, and to have people literally from all over the world speaking and present, participating and viewing and responding, giving panels and speeches and religious rituals. And I mean, we had a red tent, and we had rooms where people, you know, on various faith traditions, in a woman's room, and we pulled it off, and it was fantastic. It was gorgeous. And we did it differently. I had an idea that the program committee responded to it really positively. And so we went ahead, and instead of the usual method of presentation. Like normally we would do a plenary for women, a plenary for Indigenous peoples, a plenary on climate, a plenary on social justice, a plenary on youth. Instead, we tried to create an emotional arc. So there's the opening and the closing, which very much focused on the environment, but you know, was a general one. And then there was an arc that went from grief, where a lot of us are, to honor the losses and the struggles and the difficulties of the last year and a half, the trauma of illness and loss and death, but also traumas of women's abuse, right? Violence against women, traumas of what's happening to the earth, you know, and all these social injustices and crises about which we grieve and suffer. And then inspiration, a plenary devoted to inspiration, you know, that having honored the sorrow of where we are, how do we emerge from that? How do we transform that? How do our religious, our spiritual traditions enable us to rise up again? And then the concluding plenary, which was activism, you know, what are the things that now inspired and energized and having our hope restored and our capacities to withstand and to transform these things? What do we do? How do we change ourselves and how do we change the world so that we're better equipped to deal with the problems that will come to us? And so that was the activism panel. And then we concluded, and what does the future look like? Which is the one where I spoke, and where the Patriarch Bartholomew spoke from the Orthodox Church. It was really an historic convening, not just because it was online for the first time, but also because for the first time we received a letter of greeting and blessing from Pope Francis. And the Patriarch Bartholomew of the Orthodox Church, which had left at the first Parliament Modern in 1993 because of the presence of myself and other witches and pagans, he returned. And he spoke, and he spoke in the same plenary that I spoke. And he spoke to the same concerns about our planet and how it's our responsibility. And the Pope's representative, Father Jostrom, acknowledged the importance of the wisdom of Indigenous peoples in addressing the crises of the earth that we have created, and was also acknowledged by the Patriarch. And so while I don't think they came in order to achieve reconciliation with us, it's tacit, it's implicit in their presence, because I was the program chair. Right. And we were very, you know, we were very present. We had at least 40, 50 programs in the, you know, from the pagan, Wiccan, witch community. But as we were talking before we started, you know, they weren't there to achieve reconciliation with us, although that was it was an important step towards that, a historic step towards that. They were there because of their deep concerns about the environment. Yep. And so good, because it's through working together on these critical issues that we advance the cause of reconciliation. And it's, you know, it's an accomplishment of 30 years of work on behalf of and through the Parliament of the World's Religions and our consistent presence and participation, myself and others, Andrew Buchanan and Andres Arthin and all the other people who participate, including yourself, that we have a seat at the table. And yeah, as program chair, we have a very important seat at that table. And so I'm going to, looks like I've been informed by the executive director. They asked me to serve as program chair again for 2023 in Chicago, and I foolishly said yes. So it's going to be live and streaming. So it's going to be quite complex to figure out how we accomplish it. And I'm prayerful and hopeful. And we'll ask for everybody's magic that we'll all be well enough to be present together, vaccinated, masked, whatever we need to be. I'm hopeful that it's not too soon, and I'm psyched I'm psyched. We're working on the theme right now.
Yeah.
And I love it. Start sending out the invitations.
I'm so thrilled that the pandemic made everybody turn into technology because, excuse me, we, the Latin American Spanish speaking pagan community, have been doing things online through technology forever because that was our only choice. We are not, well, 10 years ago when I started to get involved, what I've noticed is we didn't have as much safety to be out of the closet as pagans, as people on the whole rest of the world. So we turned to technology and we turned to like podcasts and Zoom and all of that. That's why when people started like to get familiar with Zoom, I was like, oh yeah, we've been using it for a while because that was it for us. So to see the rest of the world to turn into that, it has been fantastic. And to see as an spectator myself, you know, I've seen videos of you speaking at Parliament before and when it was in Canada a few years ago, and that speech, the beautiful speech when you spoke, when they call you Princess.
That was funny. That was Chris Peters. I was like, yeah, I was Miss Red.
So inspiring to see from all sides, right? Because they choose to come and join us. They who don't like women and religion or priestesses or feminism or earth activism. And how we buy exposure, we're inspiring each other. Because we, like the feminist, you know, spiritual women, have understand that other women choose their religion and choose to wear whatever sacred garments or whatever. And we have understood to respect that. So it is wonderful to see the openness. I had never expected to be able to speak in so many what you don't know, and I'm gonna tell you what was how it looked from this side. That was so funny.
So wait one second, because I'm assuming that your listeners know that you gave a really wonderful presentation, really important, that was well attended and recorded, and it was great. I mean, it was terrific.
Yeah.
Have you talked about it with your show?
Probably not really. I mean, we talk about it with Selena when we did with Selena and the team of CSMP right after Parliament, but I've never talked about it on this show. And this is how it happens. The Parliament invitation goes out and I put in my application for my solo thing, right, for Day of the Dead, and I'm like, I don't know if it will be accepted, you know, there's so many people that comes to Parliament, etc. And then I started talking to Selena and all the Circle Sanctuary team that attend Parliament, and we start putting out these applications, you know, and then we have the invitation to be on this panel by the PLI with Morgana Sitov and all the people from Europe that are doing the Pagan Federation International. And then at one point we turn around and Selena Fox tells me, you know, it's very unlikely that everything gets approved, but if everything gets approved, you will be speaking on 5 different engagements. And I'm like, it's not gonna get approved, not all of it will get approved. And next thing you know, everything gets approved, and I ended up speaking on 5 different occasions, 4 of them panels, of course, and with group of people. My dream come true, talking about Samhain, Day of the Dead, and honoring the dead on different traditions with Selena Fox. Amazing. But I also did my solo Day of the Dead, Indigenous Reclaiming Historic. And I was like, literally, Phyllis, like, somebody pinch me, because this is unreal, surreal. Very honored to have been part of it. very, very honored and really looking forward, because now I want more. Now I want to be in 2023. So, you know, there's right. a lot of, there's the fact that it's going to be in Chicago. I'm like, what? Very, very excited and can't wait. I heard so much about people who had experienced it in person that now I'm hungry and now I want to experience it in person. I'm used to things online and I think it was fantastic. And I think it really carried that emotional arc that you were talking about. But I can't wait to see it in person. And the fact that you have spilled the tea and told us that it's going to be a hybrid. Oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
That's the plan. And yeah, it's important for lots and lots of reasons. It's more affordable when it's online because it's extremely expensive for people to travel, to stay over for a week in whatever foreign city they are. And it's hard on the planet, right? So by being online, one of the things that we did this year, which was amazing, was we had three regional events going on as part of the parliament. So there was South Asia, Southeast Asia, and Africa. And we had hoped to have something for Europe, but next time. So people in those areas, you know, who couldn't afford to get on a plane and come to, you know, a foreign city, were able to really participate, pull out the stops and participate fully. And there was culture and performances and art and music and prayer and important conversations and panels. And it really expanded the reach of the community. So yeah, doing it online. And it's also really valuable, obviously, for young people, you know, for whom this is just second nature, and who also, you know, if they're students, whatever, they don't have the income to, you know, it costs a fortune to go to Melbourne, to go to Barcelona, to, right, to come to Chicago if you're on the other side of the planet. Now they don't have to. So how we do it, integrating it with live is going to be a very big question, and I don't have the answers yet, but I have tremendous confidence in the staff, you know, and they cut their teeth on this one with the technology. So we'll figure it out, you know, it's a question and we'll find the answer and we'll figure out how to do it. There are other conferences that have been done this way now, and you have to prepare for it, because if we're in the middle of another scourge, right? We don't want to fail, right? And we have expenses. So we'll have to do it from a practical point of view, but from a sacred and a spiritual and a, you know, from an indigenous perspective that cares about the well-being of Mother Earth, it's important. So, yeah. You know, it's great to be together. There's a magic in being together that was missed being online, although we had chat rooms and ways for people to interact, and people really used them. So during panels and during the plenaries, people were interacting like crazy. Which is fabulous, but there's nothing like being squashed in an elevator,
right? With,
you know, 5 dozen people from all over the world wearing different kinds of hats. It's an amazing experience. Yeah.
Yeah. What I notice a lot in, I know that other people who have been in parliament before told me it was different, is the amount of people that are speaking about the planet conservation, ecology, eco-activism, and also the amount of people that are worshiping the feminine divine. Not self-described as pagans, because they would not use the P word, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But seeing the increase on the number of people who are speaking of a divine universe or universal image as goddess, we were thrilled. I'm sure you were thrilled. What's your take on all of that?
Well, I was I helped create the Women's Task Force in 2013, 2014, and I created the inaugural Women's Assembly. It was a pretty single-handed project, except for the help of Miriam Quesada, who's now on the staff. She was a part-time person then. And the point was to bring the goddess onto the main stage because she hadn't been there before. And to really bring pagans onto the main stage because they really hadn't been there before. They hadn't been on the main stages, on the plenaries. They'd been present, but not on the plenaries. And so by creating a women's assembly, the goddess was there. And she was there on equal footing with women of all the other faith traditions. And we had Mara Keller, who created the Women's Spirituality Program for the California Institute of Integral Studies, which is a university and is like the only one that gives a master's and PhD in women's spirituality. She was present. She said it was the honor of her life to be one of the women's plenary speakers and to speak of the goddess. And we had a rabbi who invoked Lilith, and so the goddess has arrived and she is there. And we have on the Women's Task Force, we have women of diverse faiths, but also a solid number of women who are part of this broader community of devotion to the divine feminine. So you have Jean Shinoda Boland's community, who are just amazing women like Ann Smith and Pat Farrow and others. So it's Sandy Hart from the Charter for Compassion and Sarah, who would not refer to themselves as pagan, but who are absolutely part of the goddess community. And so my responsibility on the, leading the Women's Task Force, and Dolly Dastur was also co-chair, and she's just amazing. And she really worked hard to create these incredibly important and valuable panels on stopping violence against women from multi-faith perspectives, is to have a forum that's open to women of all faiths from all points of view, as you said, including, women from communities that we would normally think of as not as patriarchal, right? And as a repressive movement, but to give them a forum and a place to articulate. And what you find is that that regardless of what our particular faiths are, we're all united as women. And we have equal commitments to the human rights and the dignity of women, which declaration I drafted in 2015 and was passed unanimously by the parliament. So that as the focus, that we have a forum for women to step forward, to assure, to articulate, and to assure that religions attend to, that they take responsibility for making amends and correcting, their theologies, their hierarchies, their practices, so that women are treated with dignity and respect and their rights are honored and acknowledged and their roles as leaders, begins to open before them. That's one of the most important things I think that the parliament can offer. And I hope we'll continue over the next couple of years a program that's devoted to addressing how the religious responsibilities in stopping violence against women. And we'll continue to make sure that the stage is available to women of all different faiths, Hindu women, even Buddhist women, whether you're not supposed to, where the divine is not anthropomorphized, still have the Taras and, Judaism with the Shekhinah and with Bina and with the retrieval of the reputation of Lilith. And the goddess exists across the globe and across traditions. And she is now front and center and will stay there.
Definitely. Definitely what I've seen, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure you're aware of this because you're a woman of the world, but Latin American countries and Latin American activists and Spanish-speaking activists are utilizing the concept of goddess not in a religious way per se, but as an icon, an iconography of women's liberation. So I am very privileged by being bilingual and being deep into feminism and activism to see that some of these women are not seeing goddess as a religion, but they are seeing embodying goddess as a political movement. And there are these wonderful songs about, I am the goddess and I am free and I love myself and I love my body. I'm getting goosebumps because I'm trying to translate on the fly one of the songs. And I keep saying, you know, like you say, maybe it's not anthropomorphized, or maybe she's not seen as a religious icon, or maybe she's not seen as a celestial icon, but rather she is one of us and we are her and we are fighting and we are seeing this happening, especially with like Spanish speaking feminist activists. And I don't care how goddess it's found and brought to the center, but she is part of the center. She is part of the conversation, you know, and that is fantastic to see that. Also, before I forget, I want to say a big shout out to Miriam Quesada.
Yeah.
And to every single person whose names I don't know. Every single person that was behind bringing Parliament online and dealing with all of us and dealing with every single one of us personalities. Thank you for all of them, because they did, in my opinion, a great, titanic,
yep,
fantastic job.
Yep.
And we can wait to be part of it again in 2023 and to welcome you all in Chicago. Not all of you are going to fit in my house. But you're all welcome to visit.
Careful what you ask for.
my apartment is so tiny, I couldn't even host one person, but as a self-proclaimed, because I love the city, self-proclaimed ambassador of Chicago, I'm willing to take you all to the best tacos. If that's the only thing that I can do, then I'll do that. Because,
well, one of the things that local communities, religious communities do is that they traditionally host an evening for all the folks of their faith tradition who come from across the globe. So you, Twyla, who, you know, I don't know, Selena's not in Chicago, but you know, the local community, one of the first things that I'll be doing is reaching out to the local community. Hello.
Hi.
Say, you know, would you host an evening for the pagan, Wiccan, witch, Euro indigenous revival to the community? And it's always amazing. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, you know, because I've traveled all over the world for these things, you get to meet people, and it's very inspiring for the folks who are coming into the city, and deeply inspiring for the folks who reside there to meet pagans from around the world. I remember Barcelona, you know, it was a young, that was in 2004, and 17 years ago, 18 years ago. And it was a young, literally and metaphor, it was a young community. They were young people and they were blown away to meet, you know, us, because they knew about us. And then there we were. In the auditorium or wherever the heck it was, the restaurant, whatever it was. And it's a gift we give each other.
Yeah.
By coming together in community. The Parliament provides the occasion for people to come together who otherwise wouldn't. And it's always mutually inspiring. So it's a party.
Well, my mom used to say, soy muy habladora, pero muy sostenedora, which means I open my mouth, but I back myself up. So I just did that. You heard it here, January 2022. Lunatic Mondays. Yes. I would love to, you know, Chicago is such a magical city, and not only because magically the structure, the lake and everything, religiously, it has the exact same energy. And I don't know if other Mexicans or Mexican Americans will agree with me, and I'm not going for clout. I believe, because I am very sensitive to energies, being a psychic, I'm very sentient, and sometimes it's overwhelmingly annoying. But the energy that you feel on Millennium Park is the exact same energy you feel in Mexico City.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where the temples are and where the ancient pyramids. And one time I was chatting with a person who is also, you know, a psychic, and she's never been to Chicago. She's never been to Mexico City. But she said to me, without missing a beat, my guides are telling me it's because of the lake. And a lot of people don't know that Mexico City is built on top of a lake. So I was like, oh, yeah, it might be the... Anyway, Phyllis, I don't want us to...
Could be. Yeah.
I don't want us to stop and finish this program without talking about your personal projects. A couple of weeks ago, you did your very first international online circle. You've been very active online. You've been doing a lot of things. What is new? What has happened? And what will happen? Because I know you still not only working for the community as part of the... chairperson for the parliament, but you're also doing a lot of work for Phyllis Cross. So what's going on?
Can you see her?
Yes, we can see her.
Yeah. So thank you. Yeah, it's been, well, you know, we talked about the Witch's Wisdom Tour when it came out, and it's been an amazing experience to work with other people, to use it myself in the consultations that I do, and to see how extraordinary it is. It really works. We created it and we didn't know if it would work, right? We had confidence in each other, confidence in the methodology of journeying shamanically and asking, you know, what does the world need to know, of receiving the visions and the wisdom, and of interpreting what we were shown and interpreting it into image and words. And I wrote a book. I wrote a tarot book, which is not what they are. You know, it's always just a string of words. And, you know, this is not that. I mean, it's full of guided visualizations and magic. Every card, you know, is accompanied by magic. It's been amazing to work with it and to get feedback from other people who are working with it. I'm really humbled that I was able to participate in channeling it through into the world, because it has oracular power and magic, and it really is working. And it feels like it changed my life in a very substantial way. And into it, I integrated the essence of the work. And it was interesting because the messages that I had received years before were coming through when we were journeying, not a surprise, about the wisdom of Mother Earth and how she organizes all of creation to sustain itself, to nourish life and sustain life, and how we're meant to live. And the magic of creation, how we're supposed to participate in it. And so really, you know, the vision of that, which is now incorporated into the deck, has been the energy and the work that I've just devoted myself to. And even though, you know, the flesh fails, the spirit grows stronger. And so, you know, I promised I would carry the message that she shared with me, and I'm doing it, and I'm being given opportunities to do it. I'll announce here, I'm doing another book in a mad rush. It's essentially, I'm curating a grimoire. It's a spell book. As people who know me know that I have a very different conception of magic And in that context, a very different conception of spells. They, you know, I do not subscribe to any form of mechanical manipulation, quantum mechanical, esoteric. Magic for me is not the definition that you see in these countless books that are coming out right now, these spell books. That magic is the setting of intention and the manipulation of unseen forces to manifest your goal. I mean, like, no, no, we live in it's a living universe that we're part of, in both realms of spirit and as spirit flows through into creation to be embodied and take form and life, to be given life by Mother Earth. And it's not meant to be manipulated in no way, shape or form. That's a retro patriarchal entitled bullshit way of thinking. And it's saturating a lot of contemporary quick magic, you know, all these little books that are coming out, and the way all these Instagram witches are practicing. And it's, you know, it's not their fault. It's just that nobody's articulated sufficiently a different perspective, a shamanic perspective, an indigenous perspective, a perspective that says that the world itself is holy and sacred and alive and will work with you because it is organized to love you and nourish you and support you and help you. But you have to approach it with reverence and respect and care. And you have to make magic in accordance with its laws, right? Take no more than you need, give back in kind, you know, acknowledge the divinity of it, acknowledge its living work, ask for help. You know, you don't manipulate, you participate. So I've been asked to write a spell book and I said, okay, but it has to be my kind of spell book, which means, you know, it may not be the hottest selling thing on Amazon, but it has to be truthful and it has to be respectful. And they were like, fine, can you do it in 6 weeks? And it's like, yeah, I'll do the best I can. So I'm working on that. It'll be out in the fall. And I'm putting as much as I can of what, you know, I've committed to sharing about the magic of creation into it, because I don't know whether I will live to write the book that is just about that, which was what I was working on before they came to me. But, you know, my nature is always, my magic word is yes. So when I'm asked to do something, I say yes. We started a Patreon. I have, as I'm working and teaching and speaking, more and more people are coming to help and to ask, how can I participate? And so Heather V has come forward to help me, and we redesigned the website, which is so gorgeous now. And she's doing social media and taking bits of my teaching and putting it out there. And so, you know, the Instagram is fun. And she said, you've got to do a Patreon. She said, you know, you're doing all this without anything coming back to you. I mean, you've done this your whole life for more than 40 years, just you, except for the books, and you just, you know. She said, and Patreon is a way for people to support you. And I said, well, I don't know. Okay. And she put it up and people have been coming and coming and coming. And I did my first international wisdom circle last night. I've done a number of them online now because of the pandemic. So I know what's possible. But I was able to work with people who are already sort of somewhat familiar with my work. It was so powerful and so beautiful. And we did a simple intention setting. I believe in intention. It's just one step. You need energy and you need heart and you need emotion and you need reverence and you need to act in accord and you need to do it according to the laws of creation in order for it to manifest. And it was powerful and beautiful. We had people from I had somebody from Mexico City. I had someone from Norway, Japan, Taiwan, Australia, Belgium, the Netherlands, England, Canada, all over the United States. It was astonishing. Just, we made real magic. And And it was incredibly beautiful and deeply moving for me. So I'm going to be working every month. We're doing an international wisdom circle online. And I'm so psyched to do the next one. We're facing one crisis after another, and I don't know that we have the time to fix what's been broken over thousands of years. But I've talked to you about it. You know, I had a long depression when I saw how badly things were damaged in comparison to the way they were supposed to be. And, you know, she came back to me, the Anima Mundi, you know, La Madre Terra, and she said, "You're useless to me like this. You're useless. You've got to pull yourself together, right? And get to work." And I know that there's real magic in acting as if, that we act as if. We act as if our magic, our work, our acting in accord will make the difference. Because if we don't, we're doomed. But if we do, it just might be that we have the power to fix what has been broken. This is the gift that we learned from Mother Earth. There are wolves in Chernobyl. And when we stopped wounding her in this last year of sequestration, where we were forced to stay home, air pollution, you know, pollution dropped about 6%. So she recovers very quickly if we just stop wounding her and punishing her and hurting her. The way to live in accord with her is not complicated. The template is there. All living things, in taking good care of themselves, in living lives that are healthy and happy, create healthy air, healthy water, healthy soil, the temperature. They create everything necessary to create and sustain life. That's how nature has, Mother Earth, creation has organized itself. Only we have forgotten, right? But if we could remember, and we can remember through our practices, we can remember through the way we breathe and honor water and work with the earth, through all of the elemental magics that we do, they will teach us how to work with them, not use them, work with them. We can come back into harmony with her, and she will heal herself, and we will heal with her, and we will create a world, a human world, that is in harmony with the natural world, and things will be well as they were meant to be. And that's, I think that's why there are so many people, young women especially, and men too, who are called to witchcraft now. I know a lot of people are saying, "Oh no, it's not religious, it's just a technology." It's like, well, you're not practicing it right. Yeah. So that's our job as crones, as elders, as indigenous people, and as people who are reviving our indigenous ancestral wisdom, is to say no.
Yeah.
That's old thinking. We live in a world that's divinely alive and is to be worked with in that way. And that is how you make magic.
And I have told people, whatever they want to listen, you know, that's why, as an indigenous person, paganism, Wicca, herbish religions resonate so much, because we are not coming from a culture that practices paganism per se, but because we have such live in and lived now indigenous base to our way of life and our religious, you know, way of worshiping the earth, that's why we so naturally come to paganism. Because I have, you know, some of my apprentices like, "But why, if you're indigenous, you're into this like old European pagan?" And I'm like, because you're seeing Europe as now, and what we practice in is pre-colonial Europe. It's right. Indo-European, it's shamanic, it's, you know, right. Earth-based, and it just makes sense. And because our indigenous practices, a lot of them have been destroyed and or are closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never have enough time to be with you, because we have 5 minutes left. Ah! And for those who don't know, for those who haven't catch up, We are pre-recording this show because Phyllis is an incredible busy person, and so am I, very, very busy as well. So we decided to pre-record. The benefit, at the added benefit, is you get video. So you're not only able to listen to us on a podcast, but this video will be on my channel, and it will be on Circle Sanctuary's channel, YouTube. And I cannot, like, I'm going to take advantage of you, Phyllis. Today being January 24th, we still have a brand new year. And I know you've been playing with your cards all the while you were talking to us. So not to put you on the spot, what do we have?
Wonderful.
Oh my God, for a fire. For a fire, for those who cannot see it, is four wonderful foxes sitting together, playing together. And the art is just darling. And if you cannot see this in the videos, I invite you to acquire Phyllis Carrot Tarot Deck so you can actually see all of the art. But
Danielle Barlow, artist.
And there is a whole show about the tarot deck that we did a while ago. You can go ahead and listen to that. Just Google Phyllis Carrot Lunatic Mondays, Laura Gonzalez. It will pop up. And you pulled the Four of Fire for us today.
So appropriate. It's really interesting, right? Because our conversation has been this international, global scale, you know, the goddess on the globe, you know, on the global stage, pagans on the global stage, women on the global stage, the implications of that. And then, you know, we wind to the personal and the intimate, and how that is profoundly connected to the whole planet. And the card is this deeply intimate, personal kind of a card. So back and forth, back and forth. It's the hearth fire. And it's a card, it's just a beautiful card. The magic that goes with it is a protection spell for hearth and home. But it's a reminder. I mean, the fox is, you can see here in the pilgrim card, the fox is one of the first totems of the deck, one of the first guiding spirits of the deck that appeared to us and was darting all over the place, driving Danielle a bit mad. But I have a familiar by the name of Foxy, little Karen, and I'm used to it. The fox follows the trail wherever it goes, right? And so it'll zigzag because that the mole went that way or the squirrel went that way. And it's a reminder that, you know, the path of life isn't a straight course, that it, you know, it veers off this way and that way. And even when you think that you're lost, you're not, you know, there's an adventure to life to be lived. And you have to trust your instincts when they take you this way or that way. But this card is about coming home, and the call of the hearth fire, the fire at the center of the home, where the warmth dwells, where our hearts open, where our family is present with us, where the cauldron of community is placed upon the fire to feed your family, to feed your neighbor, to feed the wanderer, the stranger, you know, who has been on the zigzagging path and has yet to find their way home, and you take them in. And it's the gift that we give each other of welcome and of nourishment. And it's very appropriate at this time of year. It's part of what we did last night in our international online Witches Wisdom Circle. And it's the reminder that in this time of year, where those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, it's cold, and that hearth fire is everything. And it's Imalk, and at it, which honors Bridget, but which honors the community, because it, the celebration in the Celtic tradition, right, was always that the provisions were running low, candles were running low, wood was running low. Everybody came together, brought a little bit of what they had, and together they create a feast. And those little tiny candles, each one, right, when brought together, creates this light that illumines the world. And so it's a call to come back home. And for me, you know, home is Mother Earth, to see it as our home and to honor it and to be grateful for it. And to know that we have a responsibility to each other and to her, that she'll give us everything we need to get through the dark times. And if we do our part, you know, and we take care of each other, we'll get through them.
Couldn't be more perfect. And I hope, Phyllis Groth, with my heart, I hope you know that this show, this program, this network is your home, and that you will always, people might think, you know, that I just say these things, but I promise you not. Since I met you, since before I met you in person, I feel this intense connection with you, and not in a stalking way, but in a friend way, in a friend way. And to know that is mutual and reciprocal is a great honor. This is your home. We hope that you come back when the new book comes out. And we thank you so much for being here. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to support you through your Patreon and to learn with you through your Patreon. And everybody, I encourage you all to visit www.phyllisgroth.com. New revamp, beautiful website. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And thank you for being here tonight. Thank you really for being here tonight. And I leave you the microphone so you can say goodbye to your audience. We have but a minute. So the time is yours.
I love you, Laura. And as you offer me this place of home, you know, for as long as I am the fire keeper at the Parliament, you know, you have a platform there to bring your wisdom to share with the world, because it's full of beauty and power and the things that people need right now. And this is how we bless each other, right? And to everybody out there listening, I just send you tons of love and energy. And, you know, these are difficult times, but everything that we need to get through them is all around us. It's still there. And it's also inside of us, because we're a part of creation. You know, we are meant to live in harmony with it, because we're part of it. So we can do this. The world needs our witches, and we're back.
Yes,
we're back,
ma'am.
Baby. We're back.
Yes, ma'am. The world needs her witches. You heard it here. Thank you so much, Phyllis Groth. Thank you to CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. Please listen to all of our shows. We have over 600 hours of free shows that you can listen, you can download, you can share. We are on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, we're on iBox, we're on iTunes, we're in TuneIn, we're everywhere. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I thank you all for being here tonight. Never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connected to the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSN Podcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.